Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Perfect.
Hi, I'm Pete Kirchhoff, inviting you to join me every Thursday at 9 a.m. for New Morning, the WGXC Morning Show. We'll have news headlines, weather updates, the 9:30 coffee break, first take, and a mix of rock and roll, folk, country, blues, and soul. That's all on New Morning, Thursdays from 9 to 11 a.m., only here on WGXC ACRA.
Radio listeners, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library. I'm from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda, and I'm 16 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Fahim. I'm 13 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every Monday from 3:30 to 4:00. Talking about books.
Books we love.
Books.
We hate.
Books. No, never. Actually, that's not true. We do hate books sometimes. But we mostly talk about books we love. Because life's too short for books we hate.
You know? True.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're usually here with our friend Amelia, who cannot be here today.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that because there's no school today, Fahima and Mashuda were able to come. So yay.
We miss you, Amelia.
Yes, yes. And we've missed you all on the radio, so I'm glad to have you here today. So we're going to start off, like we start off every show, talking about some books that are coming out this week that we think sound very interesting. Who wants to start us off?
I'll start.
Okay.
So this book is called It Wasn't Me by Dana Ellison Livy. It's based on a movie that was made probably in 2004. It's called The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club meets middle school with with a prank twist in this hilarious and heartwarming story about six very different seventh graders who are forced to band together after a vandalism incident. When Theo's photography project is mysteriously vandalized at school, there are five suspected students who all say it wasn't me. Theo just wants to forget about the humiliating incident, but his favorite teacher is determined to get to the bottom of it and has the six of them come into school over vacation to talk. She calls it Justice Circle. The six students, the nerd, the princess, the jock, the screw-up, the weirdo, and the nobody, think of it as detention, aka their worst nightmare. That is until they realize they might get along after all, despite their differences. But what is everyone hiding, and what and will school ever be the same?
Ooh. Sounds fun. Yeah. It's gotten some really great reviews. So I'm excited to check it out.
When is it coming?
It's out tomorrow. So all of the books we're mentioning on the radio today are due to be released tomorrow, Tuesday, November 13th. You can go ahead.
So a book that interests me was Your Own Worst Enemy by Gordon Jack. Stacy Yine was the clear front runner for Lincoln Heights High School student council president, but then French-Canadian transfer student Julia Romero entered the race and put the moves on Stacy's best friend campaign advisor Brian. Stacy also didn't count on Tony Gao, president's donor, whose sole focus is on removing the school's ban of his favorite chocolate milk. Becoming the voice of the little guy, thanks to a freshman political mastermind with a blue mohawk, three candidates, three platforms, and a whirlwind of social media, gaffes, high school drama, and protests make for a ridiculously hilarious political circus that just may hold some poignant truth somewhere in the mix.
Ooh,
yeah. It has some high school twist on both books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And the one that I picked out to share is called The Incredible True Story of the Making of the Eve of Destruction by Amy Brashear. And it's set in Arkansas in 1984. The town of Griffin Flat is known for almost nothing other than its nuclear missile silos. MAD, mutually assured destruction, is a fear every local lives with and tries to ignore. Unfortunately, that's impossible now that film moguls have picked Griffin Flat as the location for a new nuclear Holocaust movie aptly titled The Eve of Destruction. When 16-year-old Laura Ratliff wins a walk-on role with a +1, thanks to a radio calling contest, she is more relieved than excited. Mingling with Hollywood stars on the set of a phony nuclear war is a perfect distraction from being the only child in her real nuclear family, which has also been annihilated. Her parents are divorced and her mother has recently remarried. Her father, an officer in the Strategic Air Command, is absent, except when he phones at odd hours to hint at an impending catastrophe. But isn't that his job? Laura's only real friend is her new stepbrother, Terrence. She picks him as her +1 for the film shoot, enraging her fair-weather friends. But their anger is nothing compared to what happens on set after the scripted nuclear explosion, because nobody seems to know if a real nuclear bomb has detonated or not.
Cool.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded fun. A little like, is it Hollywood? Is it a movie? Or is it not? Is it real life? Not being able to know the difference. And I love a good historical fiction set in the 80s because, you know.
Yeah.
I was alive during the 80s. So it's it's interesting to see, like, is it how I remembered it or not? Fun times. Cool. So those are some of the books coming out this week. So we have The Incredible True Story of the Making of the Eve of Destruction by Amy Brashear. What was yours?
It Wasn't Me by Dana Ellison Livy.
Mm-hmm. Your Own Worst Enemy by Gordon Jack.
Right. So if you thought any of those sound as exciting as we did, you can check it out at your library. Buy your own copy. Bart from a friend? Lots of options. Cool. Before we dive into talking about some books or stories that we've been reading, we also read a poem at the start of every show. So I have a nice short and sweet one for today called Carrying Our Words by Ophelia Zepeda. We travel carrying our words. We arrive at the ocean. With our words, we are able to speak of the sounds of thunderous waves. We speak of how majestic it is, of the ocean power that gifts us songs. We sing of our respect and call it our relative. And that was translated into English from O'odham by the poet. And there's another poem by her on this page that is not translated. Or actually, that's probably the poem before it was translated. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I can't read that one. I don't know that language. But I like that she translated her own work, because I feel like sometimes when things are translated, some of the meaning gets lost, and you think the poet would have a little bit more control over that. So that's cool. Awesome. So what have you all been reading? I haven't seen you in a while.
Okay. So I have been reading... I had to read a short story for school, for ELA, and it's called All the Years of Her Life. It's a story about a mother and a son. This mother is a single mother, so she has to take care of her one and only son, and she does like 5 jobs, which is very hard. And as the day goes on, she becomes more older, and she's like not focusing well, and like when she does all her jobs, she never gets the chance to talk to her son. So her son thinks his mother doesn't like him that much. So he starts stealing stuff from stores. One time he stole something very valuable from a pretty big store, and the owner called his mom, and his mom has this charismatic like looking what's that called, like the way she talks convinces like the person she's talking to into nothing happened. She made sure that the owner forgets what happened to her son and stuff. And then after that, the boy and his mother go home. He sees his mother like drinking tea, but she can't hold the cup correctly because she had this panic attack after like knowing that that her son almost got arrested because of stealing, because of robbing the store. And then he realizes that he's hurting his mom every single time he is stealing something or doing something wrong. Then from that day on, he stops. And then he starts helping his mom. He gets a job. He focuses on education. So yeah, that's it. That's like the happy ending.
Cool. Did you like the story?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. It's very convincing. It was okay?
Yeah.
But it wasn't your favorite short story you've ever read? Do you have a favorite short story you've ever read?
The Raven.
Mm-hmm.
I always like The Raven.
Cool. How about you, Mashita? Do you have a favorite short story you've read, either for school or otherwise?
Yeah, there wasn't favorite, but I forgot the title. I read it when I was in 9th grade.
Huh.
So I think he's going to read it soon. Mm.
So he can tell you about it?
Yeah.
Refresh your memory?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I like reading short stories. I don't do it often enough.
Yeah.
I'm so addicted to novels. I have to I like being able to finish a big, long book. So it's hard for me to dive into a collection and just read one, but often they're really nice. Make a good one. Awesome. Yeah. So what have you been reading in school or on your own?
We are almost done with The Crucible. The Crucible by Arthur Miller.
Oh, yeah. Neil is reading that too. Are you two in class together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So it's about like the Salem witch trial in Boston, Massachusetts. So it's about like girls doing like, so it starts when the girls who are like 17 or 16, you know, in back back in time, they didn't have that much rights.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to stay in home and do cleaning. And so, like, they went to a jungle with Tituba. And Tituba is considered as a worker back then. So they were doing stupid things, like, you know, playing with the fire and... Are you okay? Okay. Playing with the fire and and they were pretending, and Tituba was, like, you know, putting spells on the fire. Like, one girl said, "I like that boy," and then they would put, and another girl would bring, like, frog and stuff like that to put it on the fire, and then it became crazy. So I don't want to say more, because whoever's hearing, they can read it to find out. So, but like, Abigail, who I think is the antagonist of that story, her uncle Paris comes in, who's like, you know, I think a very important person in Salem Village, and so he thinks they're witches, so he. And then his own daughter, Betty, she blames Abigail. Like, she pretends that she's sick so she doesn't get blamed for... So then there... It's hard to explain, but, like, everyone in the village are thinking that the devil has come and who made Betty sick and everything.
Mm.
And then so then Abigail starts blaming on people because she says that a devil has come when she was sleeping, and yeah, so she starts naming people who are witches, and it gets very crowded, and yeah. It's very long to explain, but
yeah.
She's very manipulative. Yeah,
there was a lot of that back in those days. Yeah. In the Salem witch trials.
Yeah.
A lot of people blaming their neighbors for things, and sad. I think I read that in high school as well.
No,
I don't remember it that well.
Yeah,
as you were describing it, I was like, are there any, like, supposedly real witches in that play? I don't think there are, right?
No.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure they're all just people that are accused. I just saw a different Arthur Miller play, Death of a Salesman, recently. I hadn't seen that since I was a teenager, I think.
Oh.
Seen the play. Also a very good play.
What's the name?
Death of a Salesman.
Oh.
And it's about a sort of door-to-door salesman. Mm. Actually, I don't know that he's door-to-door, but he's a salesman. He sells stuff, and he travels around for his sales. And it's about sort of, like, times changing, and he's not necessarily able to change with the times, and he has a lot of financial constraints, and it's about relationships with his sons and his wife, and sort of, he has some what seem like serious mental health issues going on along with it. There's a lot of sort of flashbacks in time, but it seems like he in the present day is actually talking with people from the past, including, like, his sons from the past, not his current sons, or not his present day sons, but, you know, their younger selves.
Yeah.
Or, like, his uncle, who's long gone, and I don't know. It's a very interesting play.
Yeah, it sounds...
Yeah. Those are the only two Arthur Miller plays I've read.
Oh.
But they're both very interesting. Cool. So you also had some riddles you wanted to share with us?
Yeah.
Let's see. Did you make them up, or did you?
No, I looked them
up. You looked them up?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to see if we can solve some riddles.
Okay.
Mashita's a big fan of the riddles.
Okay. What has a head and tails and is brown and has no legs?
Head and tails. And it's brown and it has no legs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The I told him already, so he can't say.
So he's pretending to guess over there?
Yeah.
He's making these little thoughtful faces, like, what could it be? I'm thinking.
It's easy.
Head and tails.
Yeah.
Well, when you first said head and tails, I was thinking of a dice, but those aren't usually brown.
Oh. Yeah, you're close, yeah. Though. It's a small object.
Small object with a head.
And a tail.
Sorry. But he was motioning towards me. It's like charades in here. Head and tails. I feel like I can't think with the pressure of making entertaining radio.
Abraham Lincoln.
Huh? Oh, a penny?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Technically, it's copper, but... So it was... Oh, no. That's a... Why was I... I was saying a dice. I meant a coin. Yeah, dice don't have heads or tails. They have numbers.
Yeah. They're...
But something you flip. That's what I was thinking, where my brain was going.
Yeah, they're linked as brain teasers.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's... It's teasing your brain.
Yeah, it's hurting my brain. I'm not ready for this. The pressure. Does Fahim know all of them?
Yeah.
Is this just on me?
No, when we were walking...
I know some of them. I know like three. Other two of them.
When we were walking, I told him.
Okay.
So, should I say one more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
What room does ghosts avoid?
The...
Like, what room in a house?
Do they avoid?
Yeah.
Oh, weren't they like all the rooms? I have no idea.
A living room.
Yeah, living.
They
it's
would love
living.
That room though, because they could haunt the living.
True.
Oh yeah.
But its name is the living.
That makes sense though. Yeah.
Should I say?
Do one more.
Okay.
Round it out. Why not?
What can point in every direction but can't reach the destination by itself?
A compass.
That's what he said.
That was my first
guess.
It's
not
guess,
that?
No,
it's not.
But it's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless I guess you... no, because then it still wouldn't make it on their own. Can point in every direction but can't make it?
Mm-hmm.
Your pointing finger.
Yeah. Yes,
really?
Your finger.
But a compass would work, too.
Yeah.
Cool. It's fun. Yay, riddles. I'm horrible both at making up riddles and answering them, apparently.
You did pretty good.
I did. And answering them, apparently.
You did pretty good.
I did. And answering them, apparently.
You did pretty good.
I did okay. My problem is that I've started multiple books at the same time. Plus, you know, I read picture books all the time, so I've read a bunch of picture books in between. But one of the books that I was, like, committed to reading over the weekend, I wanted to listen to the audio, and the audio book, for some reason, is too quiet. And I was on an airplane, and I couldn't hear it through the headphones. So I ended up starting a third book, so now I'm reading three books. Which is just not a good thing for me. I need to have one main book, maybe a secondary book. But so for the month of November, my plan is to read primarily books by and about Native American people, so by Native American authors and about their people, or either people in their tribes. Or real or fictional. And so I've started a couple books now. one of them is a teen book called The Marrow Thieves, which is a sort of post-apocalyptic story where the world's kind of gone through global warming and, you know, rising sea levels, and things are, I think it's raining a lot, and so everything's just wet, and it just changes the way that the earth provides and that people live in it. And in addition, or maybe because of this in part, people on Earth have lost the ability to dream. and accept Native American people, indigenous people. And so people who are not indigenous are trying to, figure out how to get their dreams back. And it's been discovered, or at least it's believed, that the secret lies in their bone marrow. And so basically people that are not these indigenous people are trying to track them down to take their bone marrow to get their dreams back. And so a lot of indigenous people are on the run. And it follows our main character, whose name, his name is Francis, but he goes by French, or Frenchie. And he's over time been separated from his family and has found sort of a new group of people that, presumably by the end of the story will be like his new family, or maybe he'll reunite with his family, hopefully.
Yeah.
but they're on the run, and this sort of different, different America, because it's post-apocalyptic, so it's not quite like what it is now. Mm. And it's very, very entertaining, but again, sadly, the audiobook was too quiet, so I didn't get to listen to it, but I read some over the weekend. And so instead, on the way home, I had a different audiobook also downloaded called The Birch Bark House by Louise Erdrich. So I started that as well, and that's a middle grade novel. It's the first in a series about a young Ojibwe girl. I can't remember if it says how old she is, but it's set in the sort of mid-1800s. And so far it seems like it's kind of, everyday, story. There are some like more adventuresome stuff, like in the first part of the audiobook, at least. She runs into a bear at one point. Like she sees the cubs but doesn't see the mother around, and when there's cubs around, you gotta be careful because the protective mothers. And she has a baby brother, and so there's interesting things that you learn about her life, sort of the life of people in her tribe at that time. So yeah, very interesting so far, but I need to pick one and just finish it. So that's my goal for this coming week, is to finish one of my now three books that I'm reading. So wish me luck.
Good luck.
Thank you. But yeah, so we're just about out of time for today. I see our friend Kieran has entered the building. He's going to be doing the afternoon show soon, taking over the airwaves. So we hope you'll stick around and listen to that. We'll be back here next Monday at 3:30. I hope that my friends Mashuda and Fahim will join us again sometime soon. I know you all have busy after-school lives, but you're welcome anytime, obviously. But yeah, we hope everyone out there listening has a great week and reads lots of good books. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Goes so quick. Some tea.